You watching football?
A little bit. So I grew up in Ohio, so everybody there is an Ohio State fan, so I watch that game. But their two losses earlier in the year didn't really help them, even though they won the conference. So, but I kind of agree with the decision to let Alabama in over them. I didn't think the way they played this year, they deserved a shot at the national title.
I think it was it. What'd they lose to Iowa by? Like 29 or something like that? 31?
Yeah, it was really bad. They were just so inconsistent this year. They would look really, really good against like Michigan State, and the next week they would just play terrible against Iowa, who's not that good. So it was an interesting year how everything shook out. A lot of the top teams end up losing unexpectedly, but I'll definitely watch the football playoffs. I like college football a lot better than the NFL.
I think a lot of people are starting to do that. I find even my wife, who watches it but not a great fan, comments on the difference in energy of the crowd of an NFL game versus a college game, and I agree with her.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, anything that you would like for me to address before I get started?
Just giving you an update. I'm making some progress on my whole segmentation. I'm doing a adding more people to a good night today. So that'll be 16 people are going out today, and then probably in about 2 or 2 to 4 weeks, I'll do another round. So my plan is every 2 or 3 weeks to do another like segmentation, but making a little bit of progress and doing another 16 people today. So just an update there.
Steve, what has caused you to send another 16 people?
I was kind of running the numbers and just looking. I know I need to get down in terms of the number of people I have. And a lot of our good nights are based on assets, and a lot of the compensation is based on assets. So that's basically just another $1 million of assets going out to that person. And my goal is to get to another $5 million with him in the next month or so.
I wasn't aware you got compensated when you gave stuff to a good night.
Yeah, it's actually pretty decent. I just wrapped up another one that I did last year. So they pay you a little bit of a small monthly stipend, but then they have what's called a completion bonus. So at the end of the 12 months, for example, I just got around $9,000, net to me for giving $5 million last year. So if I do another $5 million this year, it's another $9,000 net. So I mean, especially that, you run the net payout for giving them away versus the gross commissions that you get for keeping them. And a lot of times, at least in a 1 year period, you can break even or do even better by giving them away. So it makes it a little bit easier and kind of bridge that gap for giving away the revenue.
That's really smart on Jones's part, compensation for doing. And what they're really saying is they want you to spend more time with your clients and growing than dealing with small relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
And it definitely, I mean, there's all kinds of stats for the new people too. I mean, if they start with 10, 15 million versus starting from scratch, they're, 400 times more likely to be successful or whatever. So, and the client's better served. And so it's a win for everybody. So, that's, the 16 isn't a random household number, but I'm kind of doing it, like 1 million or 2 million at a time. And whatever those households end up being, that's kind of how I've done it in the past.
Smart, smart. Did anyone recognize your value since our last call?
I'm sure they did. I'm trying to look at my meetings last week. I mean, on Tuesday, actually, I had a meeting with a good client, and he had referred his son years ago, but his son had another relationship at Wells Fargo, and he has been kind of leaning on his son to transfer everything to me. And so his son did that probably 3 weeks ago. But so they were, him and his wife were in and just saying, hey, you've done a good job for us and our other family members. And, I feel more comfortable if my son's got all the stuff with you too. So I did, because of our talks, just confirm that I heard it and say, we work really hard to provide that level of care and service to you and your family members. So I, really appreciate the help introductions you've given me and resulting in that business.
Well, the next, I'm going to go a little bit into acquisition. The next part of that, and I don't want you to start it yet, but I just want you to get a sense for where it's going, is when somebody gives you a compliment, you confirm it, and then you have to make a quick decision on whether it's the appropriate time to have a referral discussion. Because not every time you see a client is the appropriate time. And the way to paint that picture in a ridiculous way is if you were at a wake and the husband has passed and the wife comes up and says, "Oh, Steve, you treated us so well. Harry just loved you." That's not the time. You confirm, but that's not the time to start a referral discussion. Would you agree?
I would agree.
So I say that to make the point that you have to be aware of the opportunity, but every time there is the opportunity doesn't mean that you think it's the appropriate time to take it. All right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Last week we talked about putting your top 60 clients into 12-4-2 and then begin to reduce the practice as Supernova progresses. Have you thought any more about that? Are you comfortable with that process? From what you told me to begin the conversation, it sounds like you're doing that already.
I'm comfortable with the process, and basically I've got a lot of my top clients coming in for annual reviews in person in the next 3 weeks. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to be kind of rolling it out to those top clients and doing the review, but then letting them know, here's the 12-4-2 process next year and trying to get them set up for their recurring calls each month.
Yeah. Now, I would suggest that you not use the term 12-4-2. You and I
right.
know what that means. For you, it's a refined service model.
Yeah, okay.
It's a small change, but I want this to be your process, not our process.
Right.
Have you been talking to other clients? Well, as you have, you're waiting for these meetings to have these conversations about the refinements you've made to your practice. I think that's smart. And again, the way you start that, I would start it would be at the end of the conversation, after you've done your normal review, just say, I've made some significant refinements to my practice. We're going to implement them at the first of the year. Do you have a second for me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
It just flows more smoothly. Now, uh-huh. While you're talking about your reviews, do you have a set format that you use for your reviews?
I do. I created a agenda and format that I follow for each annual review.
Okay. On page, I'm pretty sure it's 67 in the manual, in the Supernova Guide.
Yeah.
There's just a layout of what a review might look like. If you've got something
okay.
you're happy with, please continue to use that. But I just point out on page 67, there's just something that we've laid out there. All right.
Okay.
Have you made calls to your existing clients? I know you said a minute ago you're waiting for some of them to come in, but have you had other calls during the week?
I haven't had any service calls yet because as I looked at the list, majority of them are coming in. There's probably like five or six that are not coming in that I'll just have to call specifically, but I figured it's better to do it in person since they're all coming in.
Okay. All right. I've said this to you before, Steve, but this is if the choice is doing this quickly or doing it really well, we're always going to default to doing it really, really well.
You're building a
foundation here to support a lot bigger practice. You want it to go well, and it won't be long before it becomes a ritual for you. The service model, all of that.
Yeah.
So you haven't had any of those calls at all about your refined service model?
I have not.
Okay. We went over a progression. If people put up resistance,
yep.
are you comfortable with what we talked about?
I am. Yeah, I thought it made a lot of sense.
Okay.
That was actually. I'm glad we went through that because I was, I didn't know if you were going to say, hey, this is the way it needs to be and everyone must get monthly, and you were kind of a little bit more relaxed and said, hey, you know, I haven't gotten this far because, you know, I don't listen to my clients. So if you want quarterly, you know, we can drop to that. But I like the idea of let's try it out for 3 months, and if it's too much, we can back off to quarterly. So I think a lot of it's how excited you get about it and how you present it. And if they see the benefit, then they'll jump on board with that process too.
If you can't present this with some enthusiasm, I'm not talking about you, Steve Davis. I'm talking in general.
Yeah.
Clients can feel it. Clients can feel enthusiasm in your voice. That's called energy.
Yeah.
People really respond to people who have energy. So, and also, again, to reiterate the point about the progression, when you ask them to try it, even though they say they want to go to quarterly, when you ask them to try it, you think it's important. It still shows that you have confidence in what you're suggesting. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the scheduling and rescheduling.
Okay.
Jane there?
She's not on the call today, no.
Okay. All right. Jane is going to call when you finish these calls or finish these if the people who come in the office, are you going to get them scheduled right then, or are you going to have Jane call back?
Well, while they're going to be in the office, I'm just going to have Jane, you know, after I explain it, have Jane sign them up right when they're there. The people that I'm going to have to call separately, I'll call them and explain it, and then I'll have Jane call back at a later time to set them up.
All right. Once you have people in the on the schedule, a best practice is to send them an email, have Jane send them an email a week before the meeting.
Yep.
It's a very simple email, just a reminder that you have your monthly call with Steve next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. All right, that's especially here at the beginning. It's a good thing to remind them.
Right.
The email, just a reminder, Ms. Jones, that you have your monthly call with Steve next Wednesday. And it's good to remind them that it's a monthly call. You want them to have that in their mind so they can tell their friends about it when they're describing your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, remember, you have two types of calls. You have basic types of non-review month calls. You have quarterly. You have in-person reviews and over the phone reviews.
Uh-huh.
So we do not reschedule non-review months.
Okay.
Here's what that's gonna look like. Jane sends out the email. The email comes back from Ms. Jones. Oh gosh, we're going to California to see our grandkids next week. I will not be able to be on that call. And I'm pretending this is a non-review month call.
Okay.
So Jane's response is, thank you for letting us know. Is there anything I can do for you, or is there anything that you want me to pass on to Steve?
Okay.
And Ms. Jones, 90% of the time, probably 99%, is going to say, nope, everything is good. And Jane's response is terrific. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay.
If Jane, just don't just hear my words. If you do not reschedule non-review month calls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's pretend this is next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. She's scheduled for a review. She tells Jane that Ms. Jones is going to be out of the state visiting her grandkids in California. Jane's response is, thank you for letting me know. Steve has time here, here, and here. Which of those work best for you?
Right.
So we do not reschedule non-review calls. we do reschedule reviews.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Here's how we're going to measure your organization. You walk into the office and you say to Jane, I'm going to be out the week of, I'm making it up, August the 13th. And that's all. That's the last conversation you have to have with Jane, because she's going to know how you want to reschedule things. Let's say the week you're going to be out, you've got 12 calls.
Uh-huh.
Two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review month calls. You with me?
Yep.
So what Jane sends out emails to your clients, to the ones who are non-review calls, which in this case would be around 8. Jane says, Ms. Jones, Steve is going to be out of the office next week and will not be able to keep our scheduled meeting. Is there anything I can do for you, or is there anything I can pass on to Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Jones is going to say no, and you say, Jane says, terrific, we'll talk to you next month. Sounds very similar to scheduling, right?
Yep.
Okay, if it's a review, you tell me what Jane does.
Reschedule for another available date and say he's got these times, these dates, which one works best?
Yeah, Steve's going to be out of the office next week. He and the family are taking a vacation. Steve's going to be in St. Louis next week at a regional, whatever. He's not going to be able to keep your monthly appointment. He has time here, here, and here. Which of these work best for you? So the way that you're going to know, and I'm going to know, that your organization is where you want it, you walk in, I'm out the week August 13th. That's the last conversation you have to have about that week you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
It does.
All right. Now, we're going over a lot here today. We've got to get this part down.
Yep.
What's your ideal day going to look like?
Yep. So I'm starting to draw that out. But basically, the way that I've got it blocked out right now is from 9 to 1, pretty much every day will be client time slots. So there'll be 4 client time slots in the morning.
Is that ending at 1, or the last one begins at 1?
That would be, I have it right now ending at 1. So like 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay. What else? What else around your ideal day?
Yeah, and then I have a break at 1 to eat, and then ideally I have built in like an hour and a half break for lunch and go to the gym to work out, and then come back around 2:30, and then that is, right now I have prospecting, like acquisition time.
All right. What about, and I'm just throwing these out to get you to think, not suggesting them, do you want to be scheduled on Friday afternoon?
No, and that's actually, so I kind of have a unique schedule that I don't know if we've talked about yet, but basically I've been doing Mondays and Fridays from home remotely, and I've tried to do all of my in-person stuff on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we generally don't have any client meetings on Monday, or definitely not Friday afternoon. Sometimes we do calls like Friday morning. But Jane knows not to schedule stuff on those days.
Okay. Well, what you don't want to do is have her schedule things and then she has to go back and reschedule them.
Right.
So, but she can't begin to schedule until she knows what your schedule is.
Right. So that's what I actually started that last week, and I am going to give her, you know, I've kind of diagrammed it out, and then it'll be on our calendar system, so she knows what's available and what isn't. but we have a pretty good system. I mean, I'm pretty organized when it comes to that, and so we have a good system already, but I'm going to kind of fine-tune it for these client time slots.
Tell me the days that you work from home.
Monday and Friday.
Okay.
And that's partly, a lot of it's because of after my daughter was born, that's kind of what we figured. Fridays, I basically watch my daughter, and then Mondays is kind of a half a day. That's kind of my prep day, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is my, I call them focus days, but all my client reviews and prospecting and activities. And then if I need to catch up on anything, then I'll do some Saturday mornings just remotely if I need to. But that's kind of what I've been doing the last 6 months, and it's working out okay.
All right. Does your wife work outside the home?
Yeah, she works full-time, and that's why she doesn't have much flexibility to do part-time, so that's why I've kind of scaled back my hours a little bit, but that's why it's a little bit even more important for me to focus on the whole 80-20 thing, because I don't have the time that I used to have to spend with all these hundreds of clients.
What's your wife do?
She is a nurse, but she got her master's to move into, like, healthcare consulting. So they do, like, process improvements and try to reduce infections and falls and anything in the hospital that's not supposed to happen.
Cool. She like it?
Yeah, she likes it a lot.
All right. Now, I went over this last week, but I want to emphasize it. I want you to you got a piece of paper and a pen in front of you?
I do. Yep.
Okay. I want you to write 9-10. Underneath that, write 10-11. And under that, 11-12. Those are time slots. And here, the point I'm making is, you've got to schedule an hour. I'm making two points. First, you've got to schedule an hour for every appointment.
Yep.
If Ms. Jones is going to be Tuesday at 10, some of those are going to take an hour. Some of them are going to take 5 or 10 minutes, but you've got to reserve the whole hour. And again, two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review month calls. So let's assume this is what your day looks like. Those are your calls. Looks a little like your ideal day. The odds say that two of these are not going to be non-reviews. One is going to be a review. So let's say that the 9 to 10 is a review. That'll take an hour.
Yeah.
The others will take, if they take longer than 10 minutes, it's probably because the client brought something up that they want to talk about, which is usually a good thing. But normally they're going to take, say, 10 minutes. So while on your calendar, it looks like you're scheduled for 3 hours, you're really scheduled for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yep.
So there's
and then,
plenty of, go ahead.
That makes a lot of sense. I guess, you know, let's say my 9 to 10 time slot on a non-review month goes from 9 to 9:15. You know, now I've got 45 minutes before my next call. Assuming we would just fill that with prospecting calls or acquisition time, just kind of have a list ready to go in between those calls, or how do you recommend spending that time?
The way you think it's best spent, looking for new business, preparing for another call, returning calls, just because you're scheduled once a month, you're not saying the client can't call you other times. So
right.
my point was to make, even if you had that your calendar is never quite as full as you think it is, as it appears to an outsider.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, that makes
all
sense.
Right. Okay. Now, next week, and I got something else I want to cover, but next week we're going to go over the folders, and I will send out to you the content we suggest for a folder. Now, what we really care about is the information that you gather with these folders. There's nothing magic about it. We've given you templates to tell you what we want you to have in those folders. If you've got something that works better, you're already using, Like the first page of the folder is client information and a few other things. If you can hit a button and get that, we don't care. We just want you to gather this information. But I'll send out the folders and a cover sheet after our call here. So you might want to look over it before we get on it. It'd really be helpful if Jane can be on the call next week so I can answer any questions that she might have.
Okay.
All right. All right. The last thing I want to go over today is something we call a practice overview. We want your practice to be on one sheet of paper. The picture I would paint here is you've met with clients, with prospects, and you give them bar charts, pie charts, multicolor, all those things, right?
Yeah.
How much of that stuff do you think they read after you leave?
Probably none of it.
Well, I think that's a pretty good that's a pretty good guess. Here's what clients will do: they'll read one page that's laid out in a systematic form. And what this does, what you will develop, is again on one sheet of paper that you will put on nice stock paper when we're finished, is you will put a description of your practice, a little bit about you, and a description of your practice, what you do. And then there are three headings underneath that, each with bullet points. And those headings are basic beliefs, what clients can expect, and the last is what is expected of clients. You ever told a prospect what you expect of them?
I'm just now starting to build that in because of bad experiences in the past of not setting expectations up front.
Yeah.
But it is kind of an empowering thing to do that because in the beginning you feel like you're just begging them for business, and now you say it's a partnership and a relationship, and there's things expected of both sides.
Yeah, and it's subtle. Saying this is what I do. You know, I'm not just here to be your jump how high you want me to jump. So here's basic beliefs. Here's what I'd like for you to do is come to the meeting next week with one basic belief of your practice. Now you're a CFP. You're aware of the code of ethics.
Yep.
If you just go into the internet and type in CFP code of ethics, a bunch of stuff will pop up. I mean, it's that, what are there, seven? I've forgotten.
Yeah, I don't even know either.
Well, I got an excuse. I got my CFP in three. my CFP number is only four digits. So I'm just telling you about that so you'll get an idea of what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I want you to come back with one thing clients can expect. I mean, this one's the easiest one, frankly. The hardest one for FAs is the basic beliefs. They all have them. Everybody has them. But they have trouble enumerating them.
Yeah.
So I want you to come back with one thing clients can expect. Monthly scheduled contact, regularly scheduled contact, just as an example. And then what you expect of clients. And I'll give you one. I've had people just say, well, send me what other people have done. I don't do that. That's not fair to either party. But I'll give you one that I give everybody, what you expect of clients. An introduction to other trusted professionals so that I might be part of a coordinated effort.
Okay.
You can use that if you want. But you know what you're setting up there, right? Introduction to.
Yeah.
So for next, and I think going over the folders is going to take most of the half hour next time.
Yeah.
I'll probably get to this practice overview thing, but I don't think it'll take you very long to come up with one heading. And then after you give me those headings, after you give me those three things, one for each of those three things, I'll send you out a template so you can see what it looks like. And then we'll slowly start building that. A lot of what people make decisions on, Steve, is it's the presentation. But, you know, you've probably discovered this in your life. You make your bet on people, not process. So when people, after you've made a presentation and you leave that there, and it talks about who you are, your basic beliefs, you know, transparency, clients' interests come first, things that are basic beliefs of your practice, that they get to know you pretty quickly. They know who you are. So very effective, and there's three ways you use that practice overview, and you're gonna love doing it. All right, we've covered a lot today. Next week, as I said, we'll go over the folders. If Jane can be there, that would be terrific. You're gonna work on your practice overview. Anything else?
I mean, I did have. If you have a little bit of time, I was gonna say. Okay. I know I'm supposed to be identifying niches and looking at my current, you know, top clients and looking at what I'm targeting. I know some of that, you know, is just setting up acquisition, but you know, one of my targets, like I've talked about, is real estate agents that are, you know, doing really well in Chicago. But in terms of just identifying trends within my top clients, kind of struggling with that a little bit. I mean, a lot of them are, it's definitely like geographic, and a lot of them have children at one specific high school in town, but it's not like I have a bunch of doctors or a bunch of dentists or any specific occupation. And I'm trying to find, you know, identifying a niche that I can target where there's word of mouth potential. So I don't know if that's good enough to say, you know, just people that have children at this specific high school. I mean, there's opportunities for me to go to those events and sponsor things and become an insider in that circle, but it's not as targeted as like executives at a specific company or anything like that. So,
you're talking about two different things. You're talking about niches. You have them. Do you have retirees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have both.
Yeah, we're not a niche. Retirees are a niche.
Okay.
So we will get to that.
Right.
You've got plenty to do to get ready for these calls. You said you got what, starting tomorrow. But here's what I will do. I said it was two parts. The other part is looking at your current practice. And I've got it. We're a couple weeks early, but I'll send it out to you with the folder stuff. Sounds professional, folder stuff, folder material, and you can see it's seven questions. What I'll ask you to do is to look at your top 20, and then answer these seven questions on each of the 20. And I'll send that to you so you can see what's coming. You might want to work on it. You might not. But I know what you're asking me. I like the idea that you want to get to acquisition. I told you week one, that's what most people want to get to.
Yeah.
But I want you to have your practice firmly in place and repeatable. So when you go out and get an acquisition strategy, acquisition mode, you really can sell to your client, your prospects, not sell, but make sure they understand what you're offering. But I will send that. The name of the document is What You Can Learn from Your Best Clients. So that'll come in a couple of minutes. I'll send it to Jane also, and the folder information. You'll get three documents. One's an overview of the folders. The second is the folders, and the third is that What You Can Learn from Your Best Clients.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
Appreciate the work you're doing.
I got to get moving this week. Got a lot of work to do.
You do, but it'll pay.
No, I'm excited. I feel like right now it's a lot of stuff, and I feel like December is always a busy month with annual reviews, and I'm moving into a new office in like a week and a half, so I'm trying not to get overwhelmed by it all, but I do want to hit the ground running in January so that I've got a clean practice and I've got systems in place, and I want to start getting into acquisition mode too. So,
yeah. Here's what I would suggest to you, and I've said it to you before, Steve. This is about getting it right, not getting it quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you said to me, Rob, I'm overwhelmed, I'm moving, and this, that, and the other, we just take a week off. I mean, we'll just stay focused and don't panic. If you panic, call me.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I like how it's broken out week by week, and I'll just try to focus on this week's homework and not look ahead too much. But, no, I feel good with where we're at, and it's good to, like, keep you accountable each week. So,
one of my mentors said, FAs spend a lot of time worrying about things that never happen.
Right.
You got your Christmas shopping done?
I always wait till last minute, and I usually do most of it online, so I don't.
Well, I'll share a quick story with you. One of the worst days of my life, panic-wise, is I'm working in downtown St. Louis, and there was, I don't know if it's still there, it's Christmas Eve, and I have not done one thing for my wife. So I walked a couple of blocks to a store called Famous Bar. Is it still in St. Louis?
I have not heard of it.
Big department store. And I walked in there, and it looked like a tornado had gone through there. And the panic, and I won't even tell you the gift I bought for my wife. I just had to settle for something. And I'll never let that happen again. So
yeah.
a word to the wise.
Yeah, I need to start. That's on my list today, actually, is if I get some time to do some personal errands, I need to start looking at that.
Well, that'd be a good idea. All right, talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye.